We're turning to the book of Jude, Just turn to the back of the Bible, go back one book. 5:30 today, it is a practice for the singing group. They're going to sing at the dinner, so those involved or any that want to come along, 5:30 today, please. The book of Jude, it is a frightening book, a horrifying book, but it is a book that's included in God's Word, and therefore we have to study it. Of course, it gives us warning, and in that sense, we're thankful for it. How to live in a day of apostasy. Apostasy is departure from the faith. It's a term that has to be used carefully, not thrown around lightheartedly. Describes a person who knew the truth, who professed the truth, even taught the truth, and yet has turned away from it and rejected it and replaced it with a lie and actually ridicules the truth they once believed. And how sad that can be, and yet there have always been people like that, as we read about Cain. Well, we're at verse 11, just the one verse this morning. Verse 11 of the book of Jude, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah." Let us briefly pray. Father in heaven, as we turn to thy precious word, we pray that we'd see why thy Holy Spirit caused Jude to write about these three characters. And Lord, you'd help us to recognize the great danger that there is to depart from the faith, to depart from the truth, about going according to our own ideas and not according to the revealed word of God. Oh, bless us now, we pray, in our Saviour's name. Amen. Sometimes police will seek to draw up drawings or photos of a suspect, some dangerous criminal they're seeking to find, and they warn you, look out for this person. They're dangerous, don't approach them, notify the authorities. And they can be dangerous people. And they sometimes are various pictures because the criminal may put on various disguises. Well, I believe what Jude is doing here in verse 11 is giving us little thumbnail sketches of these three men. Not each one of them is not the full picture, but when you put them together, then you get a complete portrait of the apostate, so that you and I can recognize them. In other words, we're not to take each one in isolation. Now, we could do that. We could spend a few weeks in each one, actually. But no, the idea is to see the link. Actually, they're not given in chronological order, which is interesting. Cain, of course, is first. He lived furthest back. But you see that next he mentions Balaam, and lastly he mentions Korah. Now, over in the book of Numbers, it's spelled K-O-R-A-H, but the same person. This is just the Greek spelling in the New Testament. Well, Korah came before Balaam. So they're not in chronological order. But I believe they're in an order for a reason. Because there's a natural progression in the verse of how a departure from the Lord, it gets worse, as it were, as it goes along. And you'll see that as you go through the verse. You see, in the verse, if you just look at it, we'll just point that out now. Look at the progression. They have gone in the way of Cain. They go away from the right path. But then they run greedily down that path. Ah, but look at the last one. They perish at the end of the path. Can you see it? They go in the wrong path. They run greedily down that path. And then they perish at the end of the path. There's a natural progression. Three men. It's interesting, they're different in their background. Cain was a farmer. Balaam was a prophet, although he's called a soothsayer in the book of Joshua, a diviner, called a prophet. Korah was a prince, a leader in Israel as they went through the wilderness. You see, apostasy is not confined to one status in society. And in each one of them, you'll see these features brought out that we've underlined in other verses about apostasy. Each one of them had revealed to them the right way, the Word of God. Each one of them was told the Word of God. But each one of them rejected the Word deliberately, defiantly rejected God's Word. And they tried to replace it with their own way. They did. Each one of them tried to replace it with their own idea, not God's idea. And in that sense, they reviled God and his way. And each one of them went into destruction. Three very sad, sad portraits. In fact, the verse starts with the word woe. Woe unto them. A fearful word. A fearful word of the awful end that awaits those who deliberately, defiantly reject God's truth. Especially after it's been clearly revealed to them. Well, let's look quickly at these thumbnail sketches to try and build up the portrait of the type of person that Jude is talking about. Remember, he's writing to Christians at that time, and he's trying to say, look out for these type of people. Look out for them. And here's how you'll recognize them. Now, they'll say they're Christian teachers. They'll say we're all believers. We're all Christians. We all worship God. But you look out for these marks and stay away from them. And that's the whole, and it's no different in our day. No different in our day. The Lord would tell us to watch out. The first one then came. Look what it says about him. The people that Jude was talking about in his day, he said they are people who have gone in the way of Cain. There's something about them that resembles Cain. When you look at Cain's character, you'll recognize something about those men who were alive at Jude's day and who are alive today. Cain. I'm sure we all know the story. Well, it's good to just reinforce some of them, remember? Cain knew the right way. No doubt about that. No doubt that his parents taught him. No doubt Adam and Eve told Cain and his brother Abel how they walked with God in the garden. How they listened to Satan and they sinned and the Lord came. And yes, there was condemnation. There was the curse. But with it, there was a gospel promise. Can you just see Adam and Eve talking to Cain and Abel? Sons, you know, God said one day the seed of woman shall come and bruise Satan's head. Oh yes, we're living in a world where there is sin and there's death, but one day the Redeemer is coming. He's going to come one day. And you put your faith in him. And I have no doubt they told their two sons, now, God has appointed a way of worship. A way of worship whereby we're to approach unto him. And I believe, about 5-6 years ago, or maybe 7, we preached on this passage, pointing out lessons on it. I think it's on sermon audio. I'm sure it is, the sermon. But I believe, I don't have time to go through and prove it here, but I believe that Abel and Cain came to the same place to worship. It was probably there where the cherub was, at the gate to the entrance to the garden. Remember, God put the cherub with the flaming sword to guard the way to the tree of life. Of course, in heaven, we're told of a tree of life. We're told Christ is the way. But I believe there was a place. And I've already said in the reading, I believe there was a time. And I can see Adam and Eve as saying, son, we were put out of the garden, but there's a way. And one day there's going to be a way back. A way back into God's immediate presence. Now God has ordained that we're to worship him. And when we worship him, we're not to worship him any way we want. But you see, God taught us a lesson. Some animals were slain, their blood was shed, and he took the skins of those animals to make a covering for us. And sons, that's a symbol that one day to stand before the holy God, to be in his presence, we're sinners. We need a covering. Because our righteousness is as filthy rags. In our sin, we can't stand before a holy God. But you know, one day God is going to provide a perfect covering. The seed of woman, which is an unusual title, of course, you know, it's usually the seed of man. So it's talking the virgin-born son. Right at the very first of the Bible, you've got the prophecy of the virgin-born son. God the Son, virgin-born. He's God and man, our Redeemer. They're told about it. Adam and Eve saying, Cain, the Redeemer's going to come. And because of that, we're to bring an animal. We have to come saying, look, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve God to forgive me. I deserve, and what this animal's about to die, that's what I deserve eternally. Eternally for my sins. But, God is going to provide a substitute for me. And so we bring the animal and it dies in our place. They knew the blood of an animal couldn't take away sin. It's a picture. That's the background. I've no doubt that Cain knew all about that. Abel came with a lamb, sacrificed. By the way, just in case you think I'm reading into Scripture, are you asking in your mind right now, Mr. Johnson, are you absolutely sure Abel, when he offered that lamb, was actually trusting in a coming Redeemer? Yes, 100% certain. Tell you why. Luke chapter 11, verse 50 and 51 says, from the prophets, Abel. Do you know Abel was a prophet? That's what Christ said about him in Luke 11, 51. He's a prophet. Well, what's that got to do with it? Well, in the book of Acts 10:42, I'll read it to you. Acts 10:42, listen. To Christ gave all the prophets witness. We just said in Luke, Christ called Abel a prophet. To Christ gave all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Christ actually said Abel was the first prophet. And in the book of Acts chapter 10 and 42, it says all the faithful prophets, of course there were false prophets, but all the faithful prophets, they had one message, that God will provide forgiveness of sins through his anointed deliverer. That's what Christ means. So of course Abel knew what he was doing when he brought the lamb. No doubt about it. And this morning we come to worship not because of who we are. We're sinners. We know it. We know we sin. We don't come with some pharisaical attitude that we're better than anybody else. We're sinners, but we're depending on the blood of Christ. Now what did Cain do? Cain brought the fruit of the ground. Now later on the Israelites would have brought fruit to the altar during the time of the tabernacle to distribute among the poor and the stranger and the Levite. But that's not the point. He was seeking to gain merit with God through this, through the work of his hands. He's saying, I will devise a new way. He wasn't willing to humble himself and confess, I'm a sinner, and I can only be accepted before God, not by anything I do, but only upon the basis of what another does, the coming Redeemer. Surely God will accept my goodness, my good works, my efforts. Surely God will have mercy upon me if I show him the exquisiteness of my worship. These are the thoughts that are going through Cain's mind. He's a symbol here of all down through history who, listen, distort the gospel. That's the first thing I want to point out. How do you recognize false teacher? They distort the gospel of Christ. Now they may still talk about Christ dying for sinners, but they add to it. You need the church. You need your good works. You need your tears of repentance. You need this. They distort the gospel, and that's what Cain was doing. That's why Jude mentions him. He went the way, his own way. The way of man's intelligence, the way of man's devisings. He went his own way. You know what God did? God came and pleaded with him. Why are you angry? God pleaded with him. But he still wouldn't listen. And the one who wouldn't slay a lamb, he was so angry, he turned and he slew his brother. And in the book of Hebrews, you'll read in chapter 11, where the story is told again, the word in the Greek that's used is, he slit his throat. That's what the graphic Greek word means. He wouldn't slay the blood of the lamb, but he slew his own brother because false religion is persecuting. How sad. This man Cain, what I'm emphasizing is the privileges he had, the privileges. He knew the way was revealed. God pleaded with him. God pleaded with him, but he said, no, I will make up my own religion. You see, all worship is not acceptable to God. We live in a day where people say, it doesn't matter how you worship God, it does. All worship is not acceptable. Some is an abomination to God. And God rejected Cain and rejected his offering. You see, I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. You see, Cain spurned God's pleading. He squandered his privileges. He scorned his parents' preaching. And God forbid that anyone from our families or anyone brought up in this church would squander the privileges that you've received. My, what privileges you've received in hearing the gospel and having parents that have prayed for you and told you Christ is the Savior. Oh, don't go the way of Cain. Don't distort the gospel. It's a gospel of Christ freely given by His grace. A second one, I need to hurry on. Look at the second one who's mentioned here, Balaam. Balaam. Now, it's not only going in the way, it's running greedily. You see, that word run greedily is very graphic. It's used, you know, like a massive downpour of rain. And a river suddenly comes down like a torrent. And it overflows its banks. And it's just rushing headlong and you can't stand in front of it. Just like a mighty, mighty torrent flowing. That's what it's saying. Cain started to go the wrong way. Balaam, he's rushing headlong. Rushing headlong. What the progression. What is this talking about, the error of Balaam? Balaam's mentioned different places in the New Testament. In 2 Peter, he's mentioned over in the book of Revelation as well, just very briefly about him. He's mentioned in Numbers chapter 22, 23, 24. You can read so those chapters. Balaam was a soothsayer or a diviner. He's called a prophet. And when the Israelites were coming towards the promised land, the king of Moab sent to this man Balaam for hire. For hire. Do you see in verse 11 it says, for reward. That's for money. For money. For his wages, but for money. King Balak of the Moabites said to Balaam, I want you to come and curse the Israelites. Put a spell on them. Curse them. Balaam at first, oh no, no. But then the king upped the ante. Every man has his price. Every man has his price. Well, that's not exactly true. Thank God every man doesn't have his price. But every false apostate has their price. Up the ante. I'll offer you more money. Of course, he went off to curse Israel. And here's an amazing story. And I believe it's true. I don't doubt it. But I smile when I read it. You know what happened? Balaam's going on his donkey. And his head's down. And a angel with a sword stands in front. And the donkey won't go. And Balaam starts to beat the donkey. And then the donkey talked to him. Now, I believe it happened, though I don't think I had the presence of mind to talk back. But Balaam did. Balaam did. I believe the story. The donkey said, why are you treating me so when I've been so good to you? Taking you everywhere. You're sitting on my back. Well, that's a paraphrase. That's not the way it occurs in the King James. But that's really what he said. And God warned him. You must not curse Israel, my people, my redeemed. You mustn't do it. Ah, but there's money. So he went to try and do it. And you know what he did? He offered animals. Went through a religious observance of offering animals, a hypocrite. His heart wasn't right. And he got up, and it's so funny, four times. He got up to curse. And you know what God did? God worked a miracle, and out of his mouth came blessing. Every time he came to want to say words of cursing, out came words of blessing. But then, the money. I want the money. He hit upon an idea, and he went to the king and said, I can't curse them, and I can't cause God to curse whom he has blessed, for God is not a man that he should lie, neither is he a son of man that he should repent. But I know how you can get them to cause their God to bring judgment. Here's what you do. Get the prettiest young ladies from Moab to go to the young men of Israel. Mixed marriage. Let those young ladies go into the camp. That's what they did. And young men, especially of the tribe of Simeon, they got engaged in immorality and idolatry with these Moabite young ladies. And that brought the judgment of God upon the Israelites. This was an evil man, Balaam. Do you know, on one occasion he said this, let me die the death of the righteous. Let my latter end be like his. See, this man in his mind thought, I want to die as a believer. I want to die knowing that I'm right with God and I'll be in heaven. Oh, he had that desire. Maybe you've got desire here this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not saved yet, and yet you say, I want to die as a Christian. But look out, because this man Balaam said it. I want to die like that. But money. The temporal gain was more important than eternal riches, because he was running greedily after money. Later on, if you follow through, it's not in chapter 24, but on later in the books, you'll find that Balaam was slain. Oh, Cain distorted the gospel. Balaam degraded the gospel. The gospel of Christ that's so precious about eternity, he degraded it into a money-making racket. How terrible. A man who claimed to prophesy for God, and he was only doing it for money. And you know, there's still that around today. I could give example. We go to the Middle Ages, the Roman Catholic Church with their money and selling archbishops at 14 years of age. I'm not making that up. Read history. Families, speaking last night on Luther. When you go over to Tour Wittenberg, Luther's house, they tell you how the Pope brought in indulgences, people paying money to have the sins forgiven before they even committed it. That's what an indulgence is. They still have indulgences. And it was to pay for St. Peter's and also to pay for the many children's weddings that the Pope had. He had so many children and the weddings were so expensive. You look back and you say, what, a church? And then you think today of television evangelists. Again, a health warning, not all are evil. Of course they're not. But you read people like Popoff, I've talked about him before, remember Stephen pointing out, and I couldn't believe it. There's people in Northern Ireland still watching him. He was caught out years ago for the deceit by television channels in America, the evil he was doing. And he still sells little bottles of water to so-called Christians. Magic water. And put it around your house and you'll get money. And you see, here's the blasphemy of it. If it was some type of trickster somewhere. But he's doing it in the name of Christ. That's the blasphemy. That's the blasphemy of it. Taking the name of the Lord. How terrible it is. I don't need to go on example after example. It's happening today. They're using the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they're making in their fortune of their millions. Millions. Balaam. Money. I'll never forget. When I was down in one of the churches, they talked about the 60s of a certain preacher, long dead now, and they said he began to deny Christ walked in the water, deny miracles of Christ, things like that. And I remember one of the men who was office bearer in the church, he said, you know, my father had been very friendly to this man. He'd been minister for years. He used to come round. He kept some sheep and so on. There was nothing wrong with that. It's good. Nothing wrong with a minister doing it too if he's his time. But he said he kept them for this reason. I never wanted to be a minister. I wanted to be a vet. But when we were at Queen's, the lecturer told us that there's a glut of vets and you'll have no future. But the church is looking for men to go into the ministry and you'll make a good living there, so you can, why don't you become a minister and then you can have some shape of the city. He admitted it. Wasn't going in because God called him for money. Well, last one. Look at this. How sad. Korah. The gainsaying of Korah. What's gainsaying mean? It means to speak against the word. That's the literal meaning. Well, who's Korah? Well, in number 16 you'll read about Korah. He was a cousin of Moses and Aaron. So he was privileged. He was a Levite. The privileged tribe of Levites. But he couldn't be a priest because he wasn't of the family of Aaron as such. He was only a cousin. And what did he do? Here's what Korah did with some other men. You can read it in number 16. I can just have to be very brief. One day he came with other rebels. This is what gainsaying is, rebelling against the word of God. Remember what God had said. Moses is your leader. He was the prophet to them. He said, I'm not going to speak to you all. Moses can come up the mount. He will be your mediator. He will be your prophet. Hear him. God's chosen prophet. Aaron, your brother, he's my priest. My high priest. You remember the model we have here of the high priest? We'll have it there if you ever want to see it. It's in the back, one of the rooms here. Going through the high priest. He's the one who will come before me for the people. He will be the one who will sacrifice the sins for the sins of the people. He's my chosen high priest, the prophet, the priest. Moses said, one day God will raise up a greater prophet than me, one like unto me. The great high priest is coming, the Lord Jesus Christ. So Moses was a type of Christ. Aaron was a type of Christ. Picture of the mediator. God had said it. God's word clearly revealed. Now what did Korah say? He came along with his friends. Listen, Moses and Aaron. Who gave you the authority? All the congregation are holy. We've as much right as you to be the prophet. We've as much right as you to be the priest, Aaron, my cousin. I'm as good as you are. You'll not tell us. We'll take over the authority. Now, it wasn't just that they fell out with their cousins. They were rebelling against God's word. That's what gainsaying means, the word. The word. Do you know what they're actually doing? We will not have God's word to rule us. God's word is not going to tell us what to do. Now, I am glad in my life it hasn't happened very often, but I have heard, sadly, on a few occasions, I don't have time to go into it, where I've heard people say, one time on the radio when I was travelling, I've heard others saying, so what if God's word says that I don't care? That's the attitude of Korah. That's the attitude of Korah. Korah, who had been brought out of Egypt, the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, who had seen the miracle across the Red Sea, who had seen the manna, who had seen the water from the rock, who had seen the mountain shake, who had heard God's voice give the Ten Commandments. And yet, he says, I'm not going to go God's way. I am going to go my own way. You see, Cain, here's how you know an apostate. Cain distorted the gospel. Balaam degraded it with his lust for money, preaching for profit. A prophet for profit, spelt differently. He's prophesying for a prophet. Ah, but listen, Cain distorted the gospel and went his own way. Balaam degraded the gospel and ran after money. Korah denied the gospel, totally denying the authority of God's word, and he perished. That's the terrible thing here. He perished. Here's the woe. You see the woe? Cain went in the wrong way. You have it there in verse 11. It's going down the wrong way. Ah, but look here. Running greedily after the error of Balaam. Rushing. And then you have perishing. Perishing. That's the end. Perish. Oh, and there's still those today like free-thinking Cain. I'll go my own way. Or like Balaam say, well, yes, but it's for today. Forget about eternity. Live for today. Or like Korah, who denies the word of God. Now, what's the answer? If I finished there, it would be so depressing. What's the answer? The answer is a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the answer. You see, those three men ought to cause us to fear, especially those of us who are brought up in Christian homes and have had so many privileges, to fear lest we go, because all these men knew the truth. All these men had been pleaded with by God. Yet all these men stubbornly refused God's mercy and they perished. But here's the answer. The Lord Jesus Christ. He's the answer. John 14 and 6. I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, an answer to the way of Cain. There's the way of Christ. There's the way of Christ. In answer to the error of Balaam, there's the truth of Christ. In answer to the perishing of Korah, thank God there is the life of Christ. And that's not talking just about existence, spiritual, eternal life. Thank God you don't have to go in the way of Cain or Balaam or Korah. You can know Christ. Oh, turn to Christ. Don't be tempted to go your own way. We're met here this morning. Why? To worship Christ. To worship He who is the way, the truth, and the life. And so this morning, if you're not saved, consciously come the way of the cross. Don't run after things of this life. Oh, we need money to live. Of course we do. We need these things. But don't run after things, materialism. Run after Christ. Don't deny the authority of His word. Submit to it. Trust Christ, the one who said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Thank God this morning we can offer you Christ, freely offered in the gospel. Take Him as your Savior, your Lord. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee there's an answer. When we think of these three men and we get the identical picture, as it were, of what someone is who goes away from the truth and perishes. Lord, we've seen these characteristics. And Lord, it would cause us to fear, for we see that these characteristics are in the sinful heart of man, in our hearts. But Lord, we thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer. Lord, for those of us who know thee as Saviour, may we in the closing moments of the meeting and around thy table, if we're able to stay, consciously again cling to Christ. If there's any here who've never trusted Christ, O Lord, even before they leave this building, cause them to turn to Christ. Lord, cause them to have a fear. Lord, give them a great fear, lest they end up like Cain and Balaam and Korah. Lord, cause them to fear and cause them not to run greedily, to rush after materialism, but to rush to Christ. Bless those who must go, remain with those who remain around thy table, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen.